Now, again today, I want to take your thoughts into chapter 27 of the Acts of the Apostles. In our last broadcast, we were drawing attention to the storm and the shipwreck, and we concluded that message by drawing attention to the fact that Paul was still exhorting them to do the right thing and to believe God. While they were in difficulties and in much trouble, it was not too late. So Paul gave them his advice. Today, I want to fix your attention on the fact of the salvation of the crew and also of the prisoners. And by way of setting the background for our discourse today, let me read to you some verses from Acts chapter 27. Reading now at verse 29. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for a day. Now, reading further down the chapter, when we come to verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. That is 276 people on board that ship, counting the crew and the prisoners, etc., etc. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which should swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. I trust the Lord will bless to each listener today the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Now, we discovered then that these people made great mistakes simply by listening to the majority and thinking that circumstances were in their favor, and yet they found themselves in a very dangerous position. They became desperate men, not knowing what to do, and they reached the stage where all hope was abandoned. Now, when men and women reach that stage, and I don't know if any of my listeners have ever been in that condition of mind, but it may be that someone has tuned in today, and you have been there, or perhaps you are there, that things in life have gone to such an extreme, you hardly know which way to turn. In plain words, the storms of life are beating upon you. You have become, as it were, just like a ship in the midst of a hurricane, and the storm is tossing you backwards and forwards, and unless some help can be brought to you, you feel that everything is lost. Now, it's at that point where I draw your attention to a statement here. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for day. In plain words, there were dangerous rocks hidden under the surface. They were afraid that their frail bark, their little ship, might run onto the rocks, be destroyed, and they themselves be lost. Now, taking that illustration and applying it to life, I would like to ask you, my friend, are you afraid of what might happen to you? Has fear got hold upon you? For remember this, fear is public enemy number one. There are more people today suffering from fear than anything else. Fear has got people at the stage where they're almost afraid to go to bed. And some folk are afraid to get up the next morning in case they should hear news that wouldn't be good for them. Fear. Fear is a tremendous thing. That's why we have so many people today who are practicing psychiatrists, as they're called, because they've got to try and deal with people whose minds are upset, people who are afraid. Now, may I suggest, here is one answer to this great trouble called fear. Fearing, lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for day. Remember now, in dealing with the salvation of the crew and the prisoners, you've got to face this first of all, that the ship, with all the material cargo, was lost. The thing that they valued most. Could you think of a captain having to come to the master and tell the owner or master of the ship, "We have lost your ship. The ship is lost at sea." The usual thing is that captains go down with the ship. It's not necessary for them to do it, but they usually do. On this occasion, the captain did not go down with the ship. But the ship with all the material cargo was lost. My friend, no one likes to lose what they possess. It may be that some people place a great value upon their material possessions. And you wouldn't like to lose your material possessions. No one does. I've yet to meet the man or the woman who would like to lose the things that they possess and the things they value. But let me say this to each listener today. If it costs you everything that you have in life of a material nature, if it costs you everything you hold dear in life, in order to trust the Savior, it would still be a bargain. But you're not asked to give these things up. You're asked to come and take salvation as a gift. Nevertheless, the ship with all the material cargo was lost. May I suggest something else? The pride of the sailors must have been hurt. You know, men who control ships, like captains and the crew on the ship, the sailors, they have a certain amount of pride in their hearts. They have sailed the seas. They leave one port with their ship, and they have a great pride when they arrive at the port to which they are travelling, and they bring their ship safely into harbour and unload their cargo. There's a certain amount of pride in being able to master the waves and sail the ship. Ah, but the pride of these sailors must have been hurt, because they had to put all the cargo overboard. You know, sometimes, my friend, our pride has got to be hurt. We've got to be humbled. Of course, the Bible teaches that we ought to humble ourselves. We should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. But sometimes, if we fail to do it, God will so order the circumstances that we're brought to the place of humility. But now, according to the word of God, all the people were saved. It was a triumphant finish to a stormy voyage. But now it says in the verse that I drew your attention to very specially, that they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for day. Now, casting the anchors, I've often thought, you know, of that hymn that some folks have been singing. It may be looked upon as one of the modern hymns, but there's a lot of truth in it. It says, in times like these, you need a saviour. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. How true that is. And then it goes on to say, this rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Now, that being so, my friend, here we have men who cast four anchors and they wished for day. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that when you're gripped in the storms of life and things are seemingly going against you and you think that everything is lost, there comes this message to you, as it were, why don't you cast the anchors? Cast them so that they'll grip. Now, if you know anything about ships and about anchors, you know this. You do not cast the anchor inside the ship, but the anchor goes out from the ship. Of course, it's attached to the ship, that's perfectly true, but the anchor must be thrown out of the ship, and the anchor goes down where it's not seen, and the anchor goes down and grips the solid rock. Now, the anchor is that then which holds the ship and keeps it steady. Now, if you are being tossed about in the storms of life and the winds of adversity are against you, then you require to cast your anchors. The trouble with most people today is they're trying to cast their anchors inside instead of casting them outside. Let me explain that. When people are in difficulty, and you begin to speak to them in order to try and help them, it seems that their whole line of thinking is directed into themselves, and their feelings and their sentiments. They want to feel safe and so on. So they'll speak of their feelings, how they feel, etc., etc. You see, my friend, that's like casting the anchor into your own nervous system. It's like casting the anchor into your own troubled mind. That will do you no good. What you've got to do is cast the anchor outside. You've got to cast the anchor out to grip the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Now, first of all, I remind you that they cast four anchors. May I say this to you? You should cast anchor number one in the atoning death of Christ. Now, I know there's a great number of preachers these days who have got away from this. They're trying to preach some other kind of gospel, and unfortunately it's not bringing peace or security to those that listen to them. Let me remind you, my friend, you've got to cast your anchor in the truth of the atoning death of Christ. Christ died for our sins. You see, it's your sins that have brought you into the midst of the storm. You're full of fear because of your sins, sins that have been committed, and sin perhaps that you think will yet be punished, and you're in trouble. Well, now, turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast your anchor out of your own ship. Cast your anchor down to this solid rock, that when Christ died on the cross, he gave complete satisfaction to to the claims of God's righteous and holy throne. He gave satisfaction to God because he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Since he has met the penalty, since he has paid the price, and God is well satisfied with the work of Christ. For remember, on the cross he said, "It is finished." So you cast your anchor, number one, in the finished work of Christ. But let's go a little further. They cast four anchors. Not only did Christ die, but remember this, he was buried and rose again from the dead. So you cast anchor number two in the glorious, triumphant resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ be not raised from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. If Christ be not raised from the dead, you're still in your sins. If Christ be not raised from the dead, the preachers have preached a vain thing. Ah, but let us remind you very quickly that now is Christ risen from the dead. The Saviour who died on Calvary's cross and was buried in Joseph's tomb arose in triumph on the first day of the week. He's a living, risen Saviour. And so therefore we have the seal of God's approval on the death of the Saviour. The tomb is empty. Christ arose, shattering the gates of death and hell. He rose in triumph, placing his feet upon the ruins of hell's shattered empire. He's a living Christ. Hallelujah. Christ arose. You can cast anchor number two, my friend, and grip this solid rock. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Anchor number two must grip that solid rock that Christ rose again in triumph from the dead. But then, after rising from the dead and appearing to his own over the space of 40 days, one day while standing on the Mount of Olives and speaking to his own, he raised his hands, and then as they watched him, as he blessed them, his feet left the Mount of Olives and he ascended up into glory. We learned that in chapter 1, that Christ ascended. That is the great truth of Acts chapter 1, the ascension of Christ. The movement of Christ from this earth in triumph right up to the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high, and there he took his seat. 'Twas there he was crowned with glory and with honour, waiting the day when his enemies shall be made his footstool. So you cast anchor number two in the resurrection of Christ. You cast anchor number three in the glorious ascension of Christ. For Christ is no longer on this earth in person, but he is exalted to the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high. He is an exalted Christ. But then there's another anchor, because they cast four anchors. I suggest to you we cast this anchor in the great truth of his personal return. This same Jesus, taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. May I remind you, my friend, then, that in the midst of all the troubles of life, passing through all the storms, with the waves and winds of adversity beating against you, you can cast your anchors, not in your own feelings, but in the great truth set forth in the Word of God concerning the person of Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and the truth of his coming again. Isn't it strange? These four fundamental truths of the Christian faith have been attacked by the enemy. But stranger still, we can understand how the devil will attack these truths. We can understand how atheistic unbelievers will attack these truths, but strange to me that people who profess to believe the Bible, people who profess to teach the Bible, will not teach these things. They try to evade this great issue. Why don't they preach the atoning death of Christ? Christ died for our sins, says the Word of God. That's why he died. It also tells us of his resurrection. Why is it men are denying the physical resurrection of Christ? My friend, if you deny the physical resurrection of Christ, there's no salvation for you. You'll perish in your unbelief. But then why do they try to deny the fact that Christ went back to the glory, is there as a God-man? He took perfect humanity right back to the glory and took his seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's where he is today. Why are they denying the fact that he's coming again? He'll come in person, and Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. We must cast our anchors in these great fundamental truths. And remember this, I again remind you that all these old-time hymn writers, they knew something about those truths. We used to sing an old hymn, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cable strain, will your anchor shift or firm remain?" We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. That is the anchor, my friend, that you need. I ask you again, will your anchor hold? There was the casting of the anchors. They cast four anchors and wished for day. There was the waiting for the day. You see, it was darkness at night. They hadn't seen the sun or the moon for 14 days and 14 nights, waiting for the day to dawn. You know, there's a lot of people today who have been passing through times of darkness. They also are waiting for the dawning of the day. Oh, what a day that will be. It will take place when we've been speaking about the coming of the Lord. You know, when he comes, the first stage of his coming will be when he comes to call his waiting people home. And he'll take us, that will be the completion of our salvation, when he'll take us home from the very presence of sin, waiting for the day when the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall arise, and we who are alive and remain shall be changed, and together with them caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, what a morning that will be. But now, when you come to the end of this chapter, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all to land, reaching the land. See, there was the casting of the anchor, waiting for the day and reaching the land. I ask you, have you cast your anchors? That would be an act of faith, casting your anchor in Christ Jesus, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, waiting for the day. There's the patience of hope. Ah, we're waiting for that day to dawn when the promise shall be kept and he'll come for his own. And then there is the reaching of the land. Paul told them that not one would be lost if they listened to what he had to say. And remember, when they set sail, there was only three of them on board that ship that we could actually say we knew to be Christians. I pointed that out already. The great man who wrote this book, Dr. Luke, was there, for he says "we." So he was there when he said "we." And then there was Paul, and then there was the other man who travelled with them, who was called Aristarchus. So you have these men travelling, but now when they finish, all men reach safe to land. They have been saved physically. I trust they were saved spiritually. What about you, my friend? Have you trusted the Lord? Have you cast your anchor?